Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, podcast audience. This is the co-producer, Ken Hodge. And we have our premiere podcast tonight, The Messenger. Again, I say to you, The Messenger brings us words of encouragement and fulfillment in allowing us to realize that we have God in us, so there's no need to look anywhere else. So without further ado, I would like to present to some and introduce two others, our messenger, Ron Dyer.
Bless you, my brother. Bless you. Am I coming in loud and clear?
Yes.
Okay, we just want to thank everyone for this opportunity once again to be able to expound upon knowing who and whom we are. I thank you, my brother, for always being by my side. It's just a, like, I feel like Linus from the Charlie Brown series. Knowing that I got my brother by my side is a wonderful feeling. And I'm also glad tonight to have Sister Purr as well as Sister Carmen here with us today. Mm-hmm. As we begin to, once again, just talk about who we are. I don't want to get on a rant just so quick, but it just boggles the mind how we can sit and listen to men talk to us and tell us about the goodness of God and just how great God is, and then turn right back around and tell us how much more power and authority we have over God, but we're still nothing. It's just a riddle wrapped, it's an enigma wrapped up in a riddle that just doesn't make sense. And it's time for us as adults to stop letting people just hoodwink us when we know better. It is time for us to stop. So I just want us to be mindful of the things that are being said to us and being done to us in the name of God that has nothing to do with God. Nobody knows God better than you do because he is in you. So it is up to you to get to know you and who you are so that you can begin to expound and be who it is that you truly want to be.
Amen, my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
I just want to real quick just test. How does the sound sound today, my brother? Is it a little bit better? Do we have any feedback or anything?
How does it sound on everyone else?
Sounds good to me.
You sound good to me.
That's my first call.
That's right.
She said, you know what the answer to that question was already.
Sister Pearl, how does it sound to you? How does it sound?
It sounds, you sound very good to me tonight.
Okay, nobody hears any feedback or anything. I've just been doing some work.
Agreed.
The co-producer been getting on me about all this expensive equipment he's buying, and we're not using it properly. So I wanted to do a little work to see if I could make it a little bit better. So once again, I thank you, my brother, for all your hard work and what you're doing to see to it that this message goes out. So even in that, you've got to understand just how the creator inside of the creation is working, because this is something that God has placed in his spirit to see to it that it goes out to us daily. And I thank him for being faithful. I thank him for just being there. I'm gonna stop, but I just want my brother to know just how much I love and appreciate all that he's doing, all that he's trying to do, so that we would be able to wake those up who are still walking around subconsciously looking for something that's already there.
Well, I'm going to say, all right, then.
Say it, brother.
I'm good. I'm good. I mean, we do what we do. We do what we can do. And we hope it's enough.
Amen.
Yeah.
This is one of the telltale signs of the soul and the spirit at work. When it's done in love and it's done for the advancement, not only of you, but of other people. Because sometimes people have a tendency to say, and we've been asked this question numerous times on the podcast, how do we know when it's the soul speaking or when it's just me speaking? And you'll know by what it bears and what its intent to bear as far as the goodness of the greatness of you. That is how you could tell. If you've got something in your spirit or in your mind to do, and that what you're going to do is going to in any way whatsoever hurt someone, then you know that that's not the soul speaking. It is the soul that is going to speak to you to let you know the goodness of you, the things that you can do that is going to create a better you, not to put anyone else down. And as I said that, what I got something that I want to play real quick. It's only going to take just a few minutes, but I thought this was really beautiful and something that if we pay attention to the words, we'll be able to better understand what's going on, because we say it, but we don't believe it. So, on that note,
I was going to say, you going to drop that, B?
Yeah. Oh.
You want me to count you in? Come on now. For the messenger, everybody.
Oh, wow. It's not playing. I don't know why.
It didn't play. Oh, no. See, I tried to cover for you.
Okay.
But, you know, it just goes to show, like the topic tonight, doing what is told. Doing what is told.
Well, just so that you know, what it was saying, it was just let us know that we need each other because we are all part of the body of God. And because of that, we need to learn how to better understand this so that we can be more in tune with one another. It's just so important that we come to understand just who we are. And I hate to just sound like a broken record, but until we can begin to understand the power and the authority that God has given us, we will be continue to walk, per se, in darkness, because we think that it is a dog-eat-dog world. We think that it is survival of the fittest. And that is so far from what it really is. Because I survive when you survive. I do good when you do good. It's not me and later for you guys. Because as I lift myself up, I cannot but want to lift somebody else up with me. There's this old saying, and we don't know how true it is, but it's lonely at the top. And because it's lonely at the top, you should always be bringing somebody with you. Who wants to be up there all by themselves? God didn't even want to be there all by himself, and this is why we are in being. This is why we are who we are. But we can't understand that because we're constantly being bombarded with all kinds of just unnecessary stuff about God, and that's not God. And we know this to be true. We know that some of the things that they're saying is required of us from God, we know deep down that it's not true, because God is dealing with us each and every day, and we haven't met the requirements that religion has placed on us. But God is still there. He's still walking with us. He's still talking with us. He's still guiding us. Part of the problem is we're not listening, but he's there. So I don't want to beat religion in the head, but I just want those that hear this to understand that who you are, and so that you can begin to walk in the glory that God has given you, and not wait for someone with a fancy suit on and a special collar or something like that who woke up one morning and said God called him to preach. God called us all to be messengers. There is no big I's or little U's, because we are all one part of the body. They like to tell you that there's no big I's and little U's, but you better look upon them as the big one. And this is the enigma wrapped in a riddle that I was referring to. They're always talking about one thing of what it isn't, but then again it is. God stated, according to Moses, that there should be, thou shalt not kill. Now, God said, thou shalt not kill, but then he's going to turn around and take death and make death, make a murder the redemption of mankind. It's Jesus' blood that saved us. He had to die to save us. Just think about how much sense does that really make? And for us to be walking around here believing, oh, it was the blood. God is spirit, but it was the blood that saved us. Without Jesus shedding blood, we would be lost. And if God loved us so much that he had to send his son, he sent his son to die, what kind of God is it that they're talking about? And what kind of God is it that we for so much of our lives have followed, when we know that just does not make any sense? And then they like to come back and tell us, well, everything ain't supposed to make sense. Well, there are some things that are far beyond our capacity to understand in this life. But I must tell you, these things that they're throwing at us now, those aren't the things that we can't comprehend right now. Those aren't the things. God has made this so simple that nobody can error. But now we want to say that people have erred. We want to say that the entire human race has erred. That's what we want to say now, that the entire human race has erred, and God said that no one can. We want to believe that we have all gotten together and achieved more power and authority than God. And even though our power and authority is more than God's, it's not more than this make-believe creature called the devil. So if you really look at it, God is at the bottom of the totem pole. It's Satan, it's us, and then it's God. Because technically, God ain't got no say-so in anything. He tried to save us, and we killed the messenger that was here to save us. And because we killed him, then we got saved. I sent my son, y'all killed him. Okay, now I'm going to let y'all live forever. Does that make sense? Yeah, that was a question. But does it make sense?
When you think about it in its literal sense, no, it doesn't make sense. But when you think that since birth, you've been indoctrinated to hear that over and over again, then it forces itself to make sense to you.
Well, it does. I don't see where it forces itself. Actually, what happens to me, what's happening with me now, is it forces me to see more of the hypocrisy that is being given to us to eat as babies. And as you said, it becomes like steak to us because that's what we've been eating so long. But to me now, the steak just doesn't taste any good. I know it's the wrong analogy to use with Sister Carmen on here, but steak doesn't taste as good anymore because it's spoiled milk. What we've been consuming is spoiled milk, and because we don't know any better, we still think the milk is good, but it's spoiled.
So the milk's gone bad.
The milk's always been bad, truth be told. The milk's always been bad. If we really think, I mean, let's just, everybody just stop for one moment and think. This is what they want us to believe, that God saw that his perfect creation was no longer perfect. So, because he loved us so much, he wrapped himself in human flesh, called himself his son, came down here to save us. We killed him, and then he said, okay, if you just call on my name, you are saved.
But I have to ask, no, I won't even ask. I was going to say, under that concept, it was always kind of fuzzy to me, and that was, once you are saved, are you like ever lost? You know, once you get saved, can you ever be unsaved?
I mean, here's a good part to that. Can you ever be unsaved? Well, yes, because if you don't go to Jesus and go to him in the right way to ask him for forgiveness, then you could be lost again. As long as you go to Jesus and say, I'm sorry, you're saved.
Okay, so once you make that initial visit, you know, and make the confession, and you know, whatever, and now you're saved. So what you really are is you have a pass to keep going and ask for forgiveness. Did I hear something?
Well, I don't think you get a pass. I think you keep doing what you're supposed to be doing.
And when you
pass, I mean, you have the right, or you've got the access to continue to ask for forgiveness.
Agree.
I think, okay.
think about how ludicrous that sounds, though. And I understand what you're saying based on our upbringing and what we've been told. But think about that. That means that I can go rob a bank, and every time I rob a bank, I go to the judge and I tell the judge, look, man, I made a mistake. And he lets me go. And I go rob it again, and he lets me go. What is the purpose of even locking or arresting me if you're letting me go?
Just so I can ask you to be forgiven. it's important that I continue to come to you and ask you to be forgiven, even though I know before I get there, you're going to forgive me, but I just have to ask.
Great. And if I don't ask, even though you're going to forgive me no matter what it is I do, but if I don't ask, then I'm not forgiven. Now, and please, I mean, you know, this is me speaking, but God speaks to each and every one of you. So each and every one of you, if God has relayed some sort of a answer to this, speak. It's not a one person only. God is in all of us. God speaks to us. And so this is a question that. Can anybody muster up the God in them to come back with some kind of answer on what God is telling them with regards to this? Not what I'm saying. God is saying to you. And he'll give you the answer. All you got to do is ask him. I've asked him for myself. I know. I just want to see if he's telling you guys this. If he's telling everybody else something different, then maybe he ain't talking to me. Maybe that was just my brother, and I thought it was God.
Oh, boy.
Just leave my ego alone. I'm good. you know what? I'd have been happy just being called like the Bronze Age, but you put me in the reference with G. Okay.
That's who you are. Well, technically, my brother, that's who you are.
I feel you, man, because he is in everybody. He's in everybody.
Amen.
So, I do get that, but you know, I was at work this evening, and I had a conversation with a young man at work, and I know that he's going to meet us probably on this podcast one night next week. I'm sorry, the following week for some good conversation. He and I were at work. We only get 15-minute breaks. So, like, twice tonight, we spent all 15 minutes just discussing some things. And I told him, if we're going to talk, we first have to agree that it's okay if you don't stop following that foolishness that you follow and come and follow what I'm telling you. No, I told him, it's okay. If we just disagree for the whole conversation, we can even get animated, man. But one thing, we meet on one base, and we meet on a level that says we both believe in God. We both understand that there is a creator. Now, where most of our conversation changes is we get to the middle of the middlemen, but we understand that this is all put together by God. How he manifests that in each one of us, we differ a little on that. But an interesting conversation was had, and I'm sure he's going to call in one night and provide some very interesting conversation for the podcast also.
And I look forward to it, but I already know because I've communicated with so many of them that are, as they would say, so tuned into the faith. One of the things that they have a problem with is they have a problem with any kind of real research. Most of them can't even tell you about that Bible that they study and they base their entire life on. They can't even tell you about its existence, how the stories were brought together. They can't tell you that. Most of them believe that Mark wrote the book of Mark. Most of them believe that John wrote the book of John. wasn't written to 40, 50 years after he had died?
Because in part of me believing or being a believer is I have to hold on to this thing they call faith. Now, I can't describe faith. I can't put it in real words for you. But you have to understand. Or you know what I'm going to give you? I'm going to give you believing in something unseen and untouched, but you know it's there. So if I can sell you on that definition, then I don't have to present it to you in any other manner as far as a timeline, genealogy, things of this nature. Because anytime we start talking about drinking is bad, but the Christ's first miracle was turning water to wine. See, I got to have you understand that, go back to faith. Don't worry about what happened, because drinking is still bad. And then they'll tell you the wine that the Christ made, oh, that was a different kind of wine. But the book just said wine. So, again, when I start telling you of the miracles, and then in the same sense tell you drinking is bad for you, see, I have to be able to have that dose of faith that I dump on you to get you to understand that everything's not going to match up, but you just got to believe anyway. And that just don't make sense.
That's very deep. And actually, that's a nice segue, my brother, into a little jokey joke that Sister Carmen wants to share with the podcast tonight.
Oh, we got jokes?
Yes.
Come on, see.
A minister was driving erratic, very erratic driving. And after a few minutes, a cop pulled him over. And when he rolled down the window, he said, you know, to the cop, you know, officer, can I help you? You know, what's up? He said, he smelled alcohol. The cop smelled alcohol. And he said to him, oh, were you drinking? And he said, no, I'm not drinking. He said, I smell alcohol. He said, no. He said, I've been drinking just water in my thermos. You want to check it out? So he gave the officer the thermos. He smelled it. He said, it smells like alcohol. It actually smells like wine. And the minister said, oh, my God, he did it again.
All right, we got that off. See, that's it just all just flows together. So I gotta ask a question. How would you have set that joke up if I wouldn't have drifted that way? That's what I wanted to know.
How did I set up? If you wouldn't have what, sweetheart?
I'm sorry. If I wouldn't have used the example I used about the wine.
How would I have said that?
Yeah, how
would
you want to introduce that joke?
I would have waited to the end and just said it at the end. That's all.
Oh, okay.
Told you the same story. The same joke.
You know what I said? But it was so apropos.
Thank you.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. See, you know what I said, right? So now, at the end of every show, we're going to have to go with, hey, we had a heavy day, so let's end the day with a joke from Nurse Carmen.
Okay.
Hey, but you know what I say to that, though?
What?
All things work together for the good.
This is how
the spirit works, my people. This is how it works. This is an example. We're always looking for all of this miraculous stuff, but the spirit is working. And this is why it's so important for us to walk in this, because it is working. That's my cue. All right, bro.
See, you remember that? You remember the Primitive Baptist training? Huh? Oh, man. Hey, podcast audience. This is Ken Hodge, co-producer of Hodge to Hodge podcast. With our podcast tonight, The Messenger, I hope you've been entertaining and uplifting and very informative. Again, you have all that you need. We just have to wake up, understand, and be able to apply it in our everyday life. Hey, Cass, we're going to go ahead and sign up for tonight. Sister Purr. You want to say goodnight, Sister Purr?
Good night, everybody. Thank you for letting me be part of the podcast.
Well, bless you.
Good night, my sister. Good night, brothers.
Hey, messenger. Everybody, let's have a wonderful evening. Whatever it is that we are doing, we're going to do, let's make sure we do it well. Good night. And I'll talk to everybody Wednesday night.
Okie dokie.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Take care.
Night, fam.
Good night,
bye-bye.
Fam.
Good night.